Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Zvachim Daf Pei Gimel. We begin at the third line off the top of the Amud. Nichnas Lechaper. This connects back to yesterday's Halacha, where we learned that if a person brings dam, he brings the blood of a carbon which is meant to stay outside in the Azara, brings it into the Heichal for the sake of Kapara, planning to apply it to the Mizbeach, Hazohav, and the Heichal, bringing it in that fashion, it invalidates the blood, the carbon that was pasul, even though he did not actually carry out his intentions. That's Rabbi Eliezer's shita. Nichnas lechaper, right? Mishnah says, Aval pishul lekeeper, even though he didn't actually do anything, he didn't apply it to the mizbeach. Pasul. That's Rabbi Eliezer's shita. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Unless he actually carries out his plan. Rabbi Shimon says, Achi chaper. Only when he actually carries it out, he implements it, he does it on the mizbeach, then the dam is pasul. Says the Gemara, we have a brisa with both opinions and with their respective sources. So according to Rabbi Lezer, intention is enough. According to Rabbi Shimon, actualization is required. Tanya, Rabbi Lezer, Omer. How do I know? That even just bringing it in for the sake of kapara invalidates the dam. We have the term l'chaper b'kodesh stated over here in the pasuk, which warns against bringing dam into to the heichal, right? V'cholchat asasher yuba midama el oyel moed l'chaper b'kodesh, right? If it was done l'chaper, what does l'chaper mean? Oh, wait, we have another connection. V'nemar l'halan, we have another pasuk. V'chol adam lo yibo el moed. This pasuk warns anybody from entering the Heichal, when the Kohen Gadol, this is on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol comes in to do the Ketores, to bring the Ketores into the Heichal and do the Haktorah there, and to do also the blood in the Heichal, everybody keep out. Right? And the pasuk reads like this. Nobody should be present in the Oyel Moed in the Heichal. When the Kohen Gadol is entering and preparing L'chaper B'Kodesh. Now he hadn't yet done anything. He's still anticipating. It's pre-Kapara. Apparently the term L'chaper B'Kodesh can relate to prior. Even before actually doing it. Okay, so again, Nemar Kan L'chaper B'Kodesh. We have the words L'chaper B'Kodesh stated over here regarding avoiding bringing the dam into the Heichal. V'Nemar L'Halon, we have the pasuk over there in Kippur. V'chol Oyadam Lo Yeh Bo'il Moed. Nobody should be present in the Heichal. V'voyeh when the Kohen Gadol comes in L'chaper B'Kodesh, with the intention of doing Kapar. We make a connection. Ma L'Halon, just like over there in Yom Kippur, he's still before the act of Kapar. V'sheloi Kippur. Afkan here as well. Bishalei keeper. Merely importing the dam into the heichal, even before actually doing anything with it, already invalidates it. Hence, Rabbi Lezer learns that just merely entering with the intention of the chaper b'kodesh makes it possible. Rabbi Shimon, I mean, no, we have a different connection, a different source, which will teach. Now the dam of the chatas entering the heichal is only possible once actually applied to the mizbeach hazahav. Reb Shimon Omer, ne'amar kan l'chaper. Again, we have the term l'chaper b'kodesh over here by the imported blood. But ne'amar l'halon we have elsewhere. This is regarding hakrav on Yom Kippur. Ve'is parachatos, ve'is orachatos, asher huva es damam l'chaper. Kodesh, right? So those bloods, which are meant to be for the Heichal, those are the internal karma chatas. When he's done, he takes the actual behemoth, takes it outside, way outside Yerushalayim, on Haraz Esim, and burns it. So just like over there, in that context, The term lechaper means malahalam b'shechiper. We're speaking after the fact. After doing the dam on the mizbech ha'pnimi, then he takes the animal and burns it outside Yerushalayim. Afkan here as well, regarding the imported blood of the chatos. B'shechiper, the term lechaper means after it was done. Okay, so again, the question is, when the Pasuk warns against importing dam of chatos, which is meant to stay outside, an external carbon, against bringing it into the Hechel, lechaper b'kodesh, quarter blazer, it means to say, merely having in mind kapara, intending on doing kapara with that blood, invalidates it. How do we know? Because he connects to the Pasuk on Yom Kippur, warning anybody from coming in while the Kohen Gadol is entering lechaper. Over here it means before the fact. Likewise, regarding the Dam of Chatas imported, the psul occurs even before kapara. Reb Shimon, however, connects it to a different pasuk, also Yom Kippur, describing the process that pertains to the internal karbonis chatas, whose blood had already been applied to the Eichel's Mizbeach, and then you take it out and burn it. Lechaper means after the fact. Apparently here as well, the psul of Dam Chatas imported into the Eichel is only after it had been applied to the internal Mizbeach. What's the machlekes based on? What's the basis of this disagreement in terms of whether we connect our halacha to people entering, being forbidden from entering the Hechel, or whether we connect it to the description, the way the Torah describes the process of the carbon chatas apnimi, after kapara, it's meant to be burnt. What's the question of, you know, what's this question dependent on? What's the machlekes about? Mar Savar, look, Reb Leza says, I think my connection is preferred. It's better than yours. Mar Savar don in chutz michutz. We'd rather learn the halacha that pertains to the chatas hachitzen, which doesn't belong in the Eichel, from the pasuk, which likewise relates to people staying out. Right? So they're both externals. You stay out, you stay out. That's a more solid connection. And just like over there, it's before kapara, likewise over here. Vein donon, rather than connecting chutz, something which is meant to stay outside, mivifnim, from a carbon chatas, which is meant for inside. Okay, so my connection is preferred. Umar savar. However, Shimon disagrees. He says, donon behema behema. I prefer learning a halacha that pertains to the dam of a behema, a chatas chitzoni, which is meant to stay outside, from a similar halacha that pertains to a behema, i.e., the process that relates to the internal carbon chatas, as explained. Vein donon behema miyadam, rather than connecting halacha that pertains to blood of an animal to halacha that pertains to people staying outside of the eichel. So my connection is preferred. And we know from there that the issue is only after kapar. Okay, so again, dam of echatos chitzoina, taken into the eichel for the sake of kapara. Rebbe says that's enough to make it possible. Rebbe Shimon says only if he actually did something with it. He put it on the internal mizbeach. Okay, Rabbi adds a point. He says if it was done inadvertently, not realizing that it's an external carbon chatos, his blood, then it does not invalidate it. Rabbi Daimer, b'shaygeg, it's kosher. Okay, but ha'am is it possible? Clearly, if it was done intentionally, it becomes possible. At what point? Meaning, what would be Rabbi Yehuda's position regarding the prior discussion? Does he side with Rabbi Eliezer? Merely bringing this for the sake of kapara is enough to make it possible? Or like Rabbi Shimon? You need actual kapara to make it possible. How is it possible? So certainly, if it was intentional, it's possible. Now the question is, at what point? B'shechiper, only after he did something with it? Or b'shelechiper, even without having done kapara? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, let me prove that in fact he holds like Rabbi Shimon only after kapara. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, we have a price. which actually mentions Rabbi Yehuda's position regarding something else. Yimach HaShenemar, once the pasuk says, Ve'espar achatas, Ve'esir achatas, this was actually the pasuk we mentioned a minute ago, describing the procedure applicable to the par and soyer of Yom Kippur. These are considered chatois ha-pnimiyos, internal chatois, whose blood is applied on the in the heichel, and ultimately their flesh is burnt outside Yerushalayim, right? Ve'ez parachatos, ve'ez sirachatos, asheru vo'az damam, l'chaper b'kodesh, whose blood was taken inside to the heichel. What happens now? You transport the animal itself out of Yerushalayim, and we're meant to know that anybody involved in this process of burning, it makes his begadim impure. The clothing that he's wearing at the time become tummy. Now, the question is, Mata Moloimar Vasoyrev. The pasuk continues, Vasoyrev, Oysam, Yichabez Begadav. One who burns them has to purify his clothing. What's the point of saying Vasoyrev? They meant to burn them. Mata Moloimar asks the Gemara, what do you mean, what's the point? To teach us what to do. You go and burn it, right? What do you mean? What do you need a soyref? Well, Lugufa Yisrach needed for itself to describe the process. What do you mean? Why mention it? Ella, rather, the question was like this: why the repetition? Why mention the word chatas once and again? It sounds like redundancy. Matam alayma chatas chatas. Pasuk says ves para chatas vesera chatas. Why mention the word chatas twice? The answer is, in order to teach us something regarding another carbon, which is similar to this one, and to teach us that, just like in this carbon, in this case, the burner is metameis begadim. Likewise, in the other carbon, similar carbonis, internal carbonis chatas, where there's no mentioning of tumas begadim, we compare and we apply it as well. So again, Ela matam lema chatas chatas. Why mention the word chatas twice? The answer is lefish lo lemadnu el parisor shal yom kippurim shenisraf na beis hadesh metamen begadim. At this point, we have only learned regarding these two karbanis, namely par and soyer of Yom Kippur, who are meant to be burnt at Beis Hadesh outside Yerushalayim, place called Beis Hadesh, where you burn these karbanis, place of the ashes. And once you do that, mitamen begadim, it affects the person's clothing. What about other similar karbanis? Do they share the same fate? Shar nisrafim minayin. How do we know to apply the same concept to other burnt karbanos? Tamaloymar chatos chatos. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, reader says, the extra chatos tells you to apply the halacha of tumas begadim to other karbanos as well, which share a similar procedure. Rabbi Yehuda Nitzarech, he says, we don't need a special pasuk for that. How do we know? I'll tell you. Hareyu Omer ve'ispara chatos ve'isira chatos. The pasuk that we just described speaks about par and sorachatos, and continues, Asher huva es domam lechaper b'kodesh, whose blood was taken in to be mechaper b'kodesh, which really is an extra, unnecessary, descriptive term. Shein talmud loyma lechaper. Why mention that you bring in the blood to be mechaper? It's already mentioned elsewhere. We already know that these karbanos' blood is meant to be taken into the hechel, etc. So why the extra mentioning? Uma talmud loyma lechaper. What's the point of the extra word lechaper to tell you? Limit, it teaches, al kol ha-miskaperim, sha-sorfan metame begodim, that all similar karbonis, whose blood enters the heichel for kapora, they too, they're burnt, and the one who burns them is metame begodim. Okay, so basically, Reb Meir and Yehuda both end up at the same sort of destination. Sreifa equals tumas begodim, whether it's in these karbanos or other karbanos which share a similar procedure. So it's a question of where to learn it from. Reb Meir focuses on the chaper. Reb Yehuda apparently can't learn from there, and therefore he needed to learn from chatos chatos. And the question is why? Reb Yehuda, why did he choose chatos chatos versus just learning from the chaper like Reb Meir? The answer is the chaper le'mashmalei, because he cannot apply the chaper for this purpose. Why? Let's guess. Apparently it's been used up. my time away. La Mishum, let's assume it's because Mibayle L'Gzero Shava. He already used L'Chaber to trigger that Gzero Shava of Rav Shimon a few minutes ago, who connects to L'Chaber in this pasuk, connects it to the halacha of the Chatos' blood was taken into the Hechel illegally, right? The external Chatos was imported, right? He connects L'Chaber to teach that the external blood that comes in is only possible once L'Chaber happens, once the Kapara was actually accomplished and applied to the Mizbeach. So since he uses L'Chaber for that purpose, he must look for another source. They teach us Tumas Begadim by Sreifa, and that's from Chatos Chatos. So that clarifies, in fact, Rabbi's position regarding the earlier question. Imported blood, at what point does it become possible? Only after Kapara. So in a nutshell, a dam of an external chatas doesn't belong in the Hechel. If it was taken for Kapara, Rabbi Blazer says it's possible at that point, before actualization. However, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Dezwa hold that only after Kapara was accomplished. Hadron Allah Kol Azvachim Shnisar. Okay, we get a new perek, the ninth perek of Zvachim HaMizbeach Mekadosh. We actually touched a little bit upon this topic in the past, that the Mizbeach sort of has its own power, magnetic pull, so to speak. And once material from a carbon, which is meant for Mizbeach, ends up on the Mizbeach, even though it turns out to be puzzle material, it doesn't belong there. But once up there, it stays up there. It gets sort of absorbed into the experience, into the environment. The Gemara calls it Nasa Lachmoy Shom Mizbeach. It becomes the bread, the food of Mizbeach. It stays there. You don't take it off. But of course, we have to conform to certain parameters, certain guidelines. It's not, you know, all expansive, applying to all situations, all psulim, right? All materials. Okay, so we have actually five opinions in the coming daf regarding the exact parameters, the limitations of this halach. Says the Mishnah, as sort of an introductory statement, HaMizbeach Mekadesh as a roiloi. You should know that Mizbeach is Mekadesh, it sanctifies, it absorbs something which was meant for the Mizbeach, fit for the Mizbeach. For instance, says Rashi, as opposed to, let's say you have a mincha, and you did kmita, you scooped out that scoop which is meant for the Mizbeach, but you hadn't yet placed it into a separate kli sharis to give it extra sanctification, to allow it for the Mizbeach to sort of send it. You haven't done it yet. At that point, it's not yet called ro'iloi. It's not yet labeled as Mizbeach material. Rashi says it was not hurrar l'chelek abo. It wasn't meant yet for Mizbeach. It's not mevurar l'mizbeach. It wasn't separated, labeled as Mizbeach material. So in that case, if it were to become possible, even if it's sitting on the Mizbeach, you take it off. Okay? So that's the idea. Mizbeach Mekadesh Roiloi. How far do we say this? How why do we spread this net? Bishua Emer. Kaloroi Leishin. Imala Leirid. It's limited to material meant for fire, fit to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Like Chelev. But not blood. Not wines that are poured on the Mizbeach, although it's meant for Mizbeach, but it's not for the fire. Shenemar, as we learn in the Pasuk, he ha'ayla, he tells us, he, leave it as is, leave it up there. Ha'ayla al ma'ikta, on its fire. On the fire of the Mizbeach. We compare all others to this, ha'ayla. Ma'ayla shiruili, just like ha'ayla is meant for fire, it's meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach. And therefore, I'm also leiterid, we learn that if it's up there, don't take it off, even though it's possible. Afkol, likewise, all other materials, provided shoroi le'ishim, which is meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach, likewise, imala le'erid, once it's up there, it doesn't come off. Koyter Rishua, fit for fire. Rav Gamliel expands it further. Anything fit for Mizbeach in general, even dam, even nesachim, are covered by this halach. Rav Gamliel, ima kaloroi le'mizbeach, anything fit for the Mizbeach. Imala lo yered, once up, doesn't go down. Shenamar hi ha'oila al moita al mizbeach, we focus on the word mizbeach. Ma'oila shiru al mizbeach, just like the oila, which is fit for mizbeach, mosul lo yered, once up, doesn't come down. Afka, likewise. Other materials, kodova shiroi the mizbech, meant for the mizbech, mosul I tear it once up, doesn't come down. What's the difference between fire and mizbech? Two items, dam and nesachim, bloods and wines. Ein bein divrei Rabban Gamliel, the divrei Rabbi Yeshua, the only difference between these two opinions is elad hadam v'nesachim, these two items. Happen to be on the mizbech, but not fit for burning. So that's why we have a machlokes. Shiram Gamliel lo emel lo yerdu. He says, keep it up there. It's royal mizbech. It's been incorporated into the mizbech's environment. Rabbi Shua emel lo yerdu, you take it off because it's not fit for fire. Here comes yet a third opinion. Rabbi Shimon, he holds that this whole concept of emel lo yerdu is limited to an offering which is has its own identity, which is separate, independent, as opposed to, for instance, nisachim, which comes with a karban, you know, the mincha, the flour, the oil, the wine, comes with a karban as one package. In that case, it's not covered by this halacha of emolah l'yered, and if it becomes pasul for whatever reason, whether because of its own psul, whether because it gets dragged along with the karban, so whatever reason, it's not covered by the halacha of emolah l'yered, which only applies to items which are standalone, independent gifts, independent offerings. Okay? Rav Shimon Omer, Hazarach Kosher, V'Nesachim Psulim, you have Nesachim with a carbon. And even if the carbon is still okay, but the Nesachim became Pasul. Case number two, HaNesachim Ksherim, V'Hazavach Pasul. Or the reason why you can't bring the Nesachim now because the Zavach became Pasul. And that sort of affects, has a domino effect on the Nesachim, which are packaged together. Or if you have absolute, even if both are possible, the carbon added a sach. In all these cases, hazavach lo yered, hanasachem yerdu. The carbon stays up there because he's a standalone item. He comes by his own right. The nesachem, they're sort of tagging along. Once they become unfit for akrova, they come off. Okay, so far three shitas. Rabbi Shua says fit for burning. Rav Gamliel fit for the mizbech. Rav Shimon says it has to be a separate, independent offering. Mishnah began with this introduction: Hamizbech mekadesh es haro'i loy, something fit for the mizbech, something destined for the mizbech, something already labeled as mizbech material. As opposed to what? What are we going to exclude? We explained it means the nesachim, the kmitza, which has not yet been put into a kli and sanctified for that purpose. Ro'i loy in, only something fit for the mizbech. However, she'ein ro'i loy, something which is not yet designated as mizbech material, loy, is not covered by this halacha. L'mutimai, what are we excluding? Amar Pavel, l'mutim k'matzah sh'noi kitchub kli, a kaimitz which had been separated in anticipation of offering on the mizbech, but has yet to be put into a kli sharis to achieve a higher level of kedusha, hasn't been done yet. At this early stage, it's not going to be covered by the halacha of emolah l'yered. Mask of the Ravina, I have a big question on you. Maishnam b'dula, why would this be different than Ula's case? Dhamma Ula tells us, emura kachim kalim. So we have kadusha kadashim, Rashi explains, which are karbonis which occupy a higher level, a higher tier of kedusha. Once you do the shechita, right, the whole karbon is kadosh, in fact, there's me'ila from day one. It's if it's diverted for personal use, he has committed me'ila. Versus kachim kalim, which are karbonites of a lower level of kedusha. So let's say a shlamim. The halacha of me'ila doesn't come into the picture. It doesn't kick in until zrika. So even after shechita, there's no me'ila. If a person diverts it, there's no me'ila. Even on those components of the animal which are slated for mizbeach consumption, like a murin, like the fats, only after zrika, application of the blood on the mizbeach, which is the hakrav of the carbon, at that point, the murin have been elevated to a higher level. They've been now designated for mizbeach consumption. They're called kachi Hashem, and me'ila would be applied at this point. So what if he takes a murin, and before he does the zrika, it's still early in the game, he puts it on the mizbeach, stays up there or not? you can say, no, it comes off. It's not yet meant for Mizbeach. On the other hand, eventually, after Zrika, it's going to be taken to the Mizbeach, and you can do Zrika any second. I mean, nothing else went wrong with the carbon, right? Says Ula, guess what? You leave it up to a Emurei Kachim Kalin, Shehelon Fnei Zrika's Damim. If you happen to bring the Emurei on the Mizbeach, even before Zrika, Lo Yerdu, don't take it off. Why? Nasu Lachmashom Mizbeach. It has become the food of the Mizbeach. Okay, so clearly, even before they have been properly labeled and designated and made fit for Mizbeach consumption, it already relates to the Mizbeach and I leave it up there. Why is this different than the Kmitza, which had been separated from the Mincha, slated for Mizbeach consumption? And just because you haven't yet put in a Klisha race, right? You take it off if it became possible? What's the difference? Big difference, huge difference, says the Gemara. How could you compare? Hanach le'michzru ma'aseh b'gafayu. In contrast to the Emurin, Avei Kachem Kalim, taken up to the Mizbeach before Zrika, you realize there's nothing inherently deficient in this material. Le'michzru ma'aseh. There's no ma'aseh that's missing in them. There's nothing left to be done in them. In terms of the missing Zrika, that's something external that has to be completed. So, since these items are perfectly fine and fit for Mizbeach, even though it's still early in the process, it's still premature, but since there's nothing lacking with this material per se, and somehow it ended on the Mizbeach, leave it there. Hani, as opposed to these, the Kaimas that we're talking about, which is missing a step in its own development. Michsru Masa Begofayu, it's inherently missing something within itself. It's missing the Kiddush of Klisharis. It's still too premature for Mizbeach consumption. And even if it's up there, it became possible, right? If it became possible, you take it down. Okay. So we explained the opening statement of the Mishnah, HaMizbeach Makadosh Es Aroi Loi, as opposed to a Kaimetz prior to Kiddush. Okay, but in general, with which materials are covered? Rabbi Shoyim Makal Aroi Loi Ishim, only something fit for burning on the Mizbeach. As opposed to Rabbi Gamliel, who says, no, anything fit for Mizbeach works. Rabbi Shaul comes from a pasuk, Oila al Moik Da, right? The Oila on the fire, only something which is meant for fire. So what does Rabbi Gamliel do with that pasuk? Which seems to indicate that fire is a precondition. For Rabbi Gamliel, Nam Yoksiv, what does he do with the pasuk? Oila al Moik Da? The answer is, it's applied for a different halacha altogether. Ahu, that's coming, La Dure Paikin Dasa, to tell you. To return Paikin, Paikin Rashi explains, you know, parts of the oil that happen to spring off the Mizbeach, sometimes, you know, when there's a fire raging, some things just pop away, explode and just pop away, and end up on the floor. You meant to put it back on the Mizbeach, even though you found it on the floor. Okay, so that's the point of the pasuk. Oil al Moikta. Something which had been on the fire and popped off, you put it back. So it's for a totally different halach. No, v'idach laduri poikim nalei. Has Rabbi Shaul know this halacha of laduri poikim? Because he had used that pasuk of Moikta for our discussion. Oh, he has another source for that. V'nalei nafkali mashateich ala'esh. The pasuk says something which had been affected by the fire, partially burnt. So you learn from there that you put it back. Alright, the pasuk says, we learn from there something which had been on the Mizbeach and been burnt by the fire, even though you found it on the floor, you put it back. V'idach, okay, so that's an extra pasuk. What do you do with that pasuk? It's needed for a different halacha, actually, to teach us some more details regarding the halacha of restoring these items. It's needed to teach us li'kuli oila ta machzer. You only return parts of the oila that popped off. V'yata machzer i'kuli means something which had been partially consumed. V'yata machzer, you don't return i'kuli k'tayres. Suppose a similar phenomenon occurred with k'tayres material, you know, the incense on the Mizbeach, and it popped off. There's no halacha of returning it. The Tani Rabbi Chanina, Bar Minyum, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Yaakov, Yashat HaKhalesh, it's oila Mizbeach. Torah speaks out returning parts of the oila, as opposed to k'teres. Ikuli oila to machzer, you return parts of the oila. V'yat to machzer, but you don't return ikuli k'teres. V'yidach. Comes a Rishon, he says, look, but you can learn all from this pasuk. I understand, it's coming to teach us, don't return the k'teres, but yeah, return the oila, okay. V'yidach, so the other shita says, lav melo shamas mino. So basically, you can learn two things from this pasuk. The pasuk is saying, don't return k'teres. Obviously, it's saying, do return something else. Do return the oila. Okay, so it's all learned from this pasuk, which frees the other pasuk of oila al-moikta to give us the parameters of the halacha and the mishnah. When do we say im'ala lo yered? It's limited only to items fit for burning on the mizbeach. But Rav Gamliel disagrees. He says, Rav Gamliel, Eimer, kol ha'roi l'mizbeach, anything fit for the mizbeach, like dam nesachim, is also covered under this stipulation. Why? Because the pasuk says, al ha'mizbeach. Right? Ya'il al-mokta al ha'mizbeach. Mizbeach is the criteria. No, Rabbi Shua nam yoksib mizbeach. Rabbi Shua, the opposing shita, what does he do with mizbeach? Homi ba'ilei. He learns that the pasuk is simply giving us the reason, the rationale behind this whole halacha of one's up doesn't come down. Why? My kamrachmana kalaroy lemaida makalish mizbeach. Why do we say that something fit for fire, which ends up in the mizbeach, turns out to be possible, stays up there because the mizbeach is makalish? That's the reason. V'idach mizbeach achrinuksev. However, Rav Gamliel learns that idea from the other pasuk. There's another pasuk elsewhere which says, "Kol anoygea b'mizbeach, a mizbeach yigdash. Anything that comes into contact with the mizbeach becomes holy." There you go. That's the reason for the halach. V'idach mizbeach achrinuksev. Sorry, v'idach. And Rabbi Shua says, "No, chad lehechad ha'isel hashas hakayisha. We need both. There's nothing extra because." The pasuk by us, which says once up you stay up, perhaps it's only speaking about a case that although it became possible, but it became possible recently. It wasn't possible from birth, you know. There was a point in time when I had a shasa kosher, a moment of permissibility. So maybe only there do we say once up, stay up. That's why we need another pasuk later on, to cover even a more severe deficiency. To a case, and that's why we need two psukim. However, Rav Gamliel disagrees. We don't need two psukim for the same halacha of Mado Layered. In which case, we have an extra pasuk to give you the reason, as we explain. Why? Why don't you need two psukim? He says, look. Puzzle is puzzle is puzzle. It's all the same story. V'idach, given the psul and inu, since these are puzzle, for whatever reason, from the get-go or later, it doesn't matter. Rabbi Rachman, a Torah allows you to put it on the, leave it on the mizbeach. Torah covers it. So, it's irrelevant. Leishna, hoise leishasa kosher. Leishna, loise leishasa kosher. It doesn't matter if it happened later or earlier. There's no need to have a special puzzle for that. Rather, the extra puzzle is telling you the reason. The basis, the rationale is, Kol ha'negeah mizbeach yigdash, mizbeach has special kedusha powers. You're on there, you stay there. Okay, so in a nutshell, what's covered? In the halacha ma'ala le'yered, Rabbi Shua says, roi le'ishim, fit for burning, fit for the fire, based on the pasuk oila al-maikda, maikda means the fire. Rav Gamliel focuses on the word mizbeach, anything fit for the mizbeach, including dam and nesach. Third shita, Rabbi Shimon Omer, azarach kosher, only something which is a standalone item, standalone carbon by its own right, is covered by the halacha of Mado Layered. Tanya Rav Shimon Omer. How do I know? Because I focus on the word oila. Oila is an independent entity, a separate offering. Oila teaches ma oila haba b'gal atzma, like the oila comes by its own right. Avkol haba b'gal atzma, likewise, other materials which come on their own. Yatsu, as opposed to nesachim, right, the minchas and sachem, etc., the wines, haboyim b'chal zevach, that come along as a package with a korban, they will not be covered by this halach. Now comes another b'raisa with two more shittas. to rule out birds, bird carbonis, to rule out menachais. Rabbi Yosef Lili Omer, Metoich Shenemar. If we take a look at the other pasuk which says Kol Hanegeva Mizbeach Hikdash, anything which comes out of the Mizbeach becomes Kaddish and stays there. Anything. Perhaps anything, anything. Shemani, I can perhaps conclude, Bein Roy, Ubein Shein Roy, whether it's fit for Mizbeach or otherwise. Once on the Mizbeach, he stay there, leave it there. Tamloima, no. The next pasuk continues and says, V'zeh Ashatas al Mizbeach, Kvosim, B'nei Shana, Shnai Melayim Tamit. So we learn from that pasuk, Tamalei ma kvasim, ma kvasim ruin, just like kvasim, which is used as an example for this halacha, is an animal meant for a mizbeach, fit for carbon, afkol roi, likewise, only something which is fit for a mizbeach is covered. As opposed to birds, even a bird carbon, if it's possible, even if it's on the mizbeach, you take it off. Rabbi Kiva, he says, birds are covered, but menachos are not. So he chooses to focus on the word oila. Okay, so the word oila, which is a few psukim later, says oila's tamid. Oila's tamid. That's his starting point. Ma oila ru'uya, just like an oila is roi, afkol ru'uya, likewise, only material which is fit from mizbeach is covered. Maybe now. They both seem to be saying the same thing. You need to be fit for the mizbeach. Any difference? Yeah. You have an oila bird that became possible, and it's on the mizbeach. And that will be the difference between these opinions. It's a bird, not an animal. So it's an oila, but not kvasa. According to Rakiva, yes. According to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, no. Mar maisla me oila. Rabbi Akiva comes from oila. Covers this as well. However, basically, comes from kvasim, specifying animals only, not birds. Ask the Gemara, Manda Maislam kvasim, the one who comes from kvasim, as a source. What about oila? Which sounds like even birds. No, iksiv kvasim. The reason why the Torah adds the word oila, because if only from the word kvasim, without saying oila, I mean, I would say, afilu mechayim. Even a live animal in the mizbeach stays up there. Because Rahmana Oila. Comes the word Oila and says, no, only a processed carbon. On the other hand, the opinion that focuses on Oila, to include even birds, Hoksiv Kvasim, what about Kvasim, which sounds like only animals? The answer is, no, Iksiv Oila, Iksiv Kvasim. The reason why the Torah mentions Kvasim, because if only Oila without Kvasim, I would erroneously say, Afilu Mincha, the car, even a Mincha that became faulty. You would leave it on the Mizbeach as well, because Rahmana Kvasim comes the Pasuk says Kvasim only animals, as opposed to Menachos. But birds work as well. Okay, so we have a Mishnah by us, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shimon, who seem to be including even Menachos. It's fit for the Mizbeach, it's fit for the fire. If it's a separate Mincha, then it's covered under Rabbi Shimon's criteria as well. Versus the Tanaim and the Raisa, Rabbi Saglili, Rabbi Kiva, they both seem to concur that a mincha is excluded from the halacha of a mother layered, Ma'ika. Oh, says the Gemara, what's the difference between these and those opinions? Ma'ika bin Hani Tanaim, between these Tanaim and the Raisa, versus Lahani Tanaim the Masnissim, versus the opinion in our Mishnah, opinions in our Mishnah, Rapapa, Kamatam Shekitcha Bakli Kubinayo. He brought a mincha, separate carbon. You did the kmitza properly, put into a kli, it's waiting for the mizbeach, all set, and it became possible, but ended up in the mizbeach anyways. Do you leave it up there? Depends. According to our Mishnah, all the opinions in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua says fit for fire, it's fit for fire. Rabbi Gamliel says meant for the mizbeach, it's meant for the mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon says independent, it's independent. It doesn't come off. However, according to the Bryce's opinion, it comes off because a mincha is not covered. Let me give you another couple of examples. And we'll see what happens according to the various opinions. So again, before we continue, we have five opinions to speak of. What's covered under the halacha of once up, stays up? Imala layered. Rabbi Yeshua, fit for burning, fit for the fire. Rabbi Gamliel, fit for the mizbeach. Even dam and nesach. Rabbi Shimon says, only something which is separate, independent, as opposed to part of a package. We have in the Braisa, Rabbi Yisak Lili, we exclude birds and menachas. Rabbi Kiva only excludes menachas. Amar Shlokesh, mincha above ne'atzma. So you have a mincha, Rashi says a mincha is nesachim, which typically comes with a carbon, a mix of flour, oil, you have wines as well, meant to be completely burnt and offered, poured and burnt on the Mizbeach. The mincha is burnt, the wine is poured, right? Mincha above ne'atzma, decided to bring it as a separate gift. You can do that, we'll see later. You can bring a mincha nesachim separate from a carbon. What happens if there is a mishap, but it's on the Mizbeach? Stays up or not? According to all opinions, stays up there. Meaning, according to the opinions in our Mishnah, fits the bill. Fire, yes. Mizbeach, yes. Independent, yes. But according to the Braisa, Rabbi Kiva, it comes off because the Mincha is not covered. Okay, so this flour and oil mix comes off. Next case, Mincha above Mazabach. You have the Minchas Nesachim, the flour and oil mix, right? Which happened to be part of a package, part of a carbon package. What happens here? And of course, in all these cases, there was a mishap, it became possible, but it ended up on the Mizbeach regardless. Does it stay up there or come off? It depends who. Well, David Rabbi Gamliel, who says fit for Mizbeach, yeah. Rabbi Yeshua, who says fit for fire, yeah. Loiterit, stays up. With the Reikulan, according to the other opinions, the other three, Teirat, it comes off. Why? Because, according to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't fit the bill. It's part of a broader package. According to the Bryce's opinions, Mincha is not covered. Next case. Nesachim Abayim Lifnei Atzma. What about the wines? Typically come with a carbon, but you can donate wine on its own. Who the Reikulan Yerdu? According to everybody, it comes off. Meaning, according to the Braisa, Rizek Lila Rekiva, it's not an animal, it's not a bird, right? It comes off, right? Nesachim come off. According to Eldivrei Rav Gamliel Rav Yishim Lo Yerdu, according to Rav Gamliel, it's fit for the Mizbeach. According to Rav Shimon, it's separate gift, not part of a broader package. Lo yerdu, it stays up there. Okay, so again, according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's not fit for fire. According to the Braisa, it needs to be a blood offering, like an animal, a bird, but not a mincha, not nesachin. Next case, nesachin habayin ha-zevach. What about the wines that are coming together with a carbon? Literally, kulon yerdu, according to all opinions, minus one, it comes off. Why? Rabbi Yeshua says fire, it's not fire. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's part of a broader package. According to the Braisa, it's not an animal or bird. However, the only one that keeps it on the Mizbeach is Rabbi Gamliel, who says anything fit for the Mizbeach in general is covered, even wine. Okay, Pshita, says the Gemara, this string of variations is pretty much just a play out of all the opinions. It's not there's no novelty here. Once you have the opinions clear in your mind, then these are just, simple applications. What's the point of going through them? Right? You know, Rabbi Shua requires Eish. Rabbi Gamliel Mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon says Beglal Atzmi. The Braisa rules out Mincha. Okay. So what's the point of going through all cases? There's one Chiddush here, which is the first case, which taught us that you can bring a Minchas Nesachim independent of a carbon. You can just decide one morning to donate a Minchas Nesachim. That's a Chiddush. And that triggered our whole list of cases. Mincha, Habav, if they ask restrictly, the point was to highlight that one has the ability to bring a Minchas Nesachim separate from a carbon. Strichli, the Rav, as Rav tells us, I'm a Rav, it's not about the Minchas Nesachim Chalyan, you can decide every day to bring a Minchas Nesachim. Finish Minchas the Rav, that was your only point, just get up and state that halacha. Why all these cases and all these variations? The answer is no, there was another point in the next case as well. Nesachim Habav, Mazevach, Strichli. We had a case of Nesachim coming together with a carbon. And we consider it to be part of the package, in which case it doesn't fit the bill according to Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah. And there was an added twist there that was highlighted in this discussion. Why? We're speaking that actually, You brought it a day or two later. Right? The bringing of the carbon triggered this obligation, but he decided to procrastinate, bring it a day or two later, which you can do. Now, it's an interesting question. Do we view it as a separate offering? In which case, it would qualify. Would be considered a separate entity, would qualify even in accordance with Rabbi Shimon's requirement that needs to be separate. Or do we say no? Fact is, what triggered this obligation? The carbon. So it's still part of that general package, even though procedurally you brought it later. That's the point of discussing it. We wanted to highlight another element, another halacha regarding Nesachim, that our package will take carbon. Because he brought it later. The Kamakr of Lulamachar, he happened to bring it next day, Liyamachar, the next day the following. Sagda Tachmini, perhaps I would think to consider it a separate offering. Hoyel Vamamar, since we learned that you can do that. Menachasim Neskeim teaches us even Balai, they could bring it the night after the carbon. Menachasim Neskeim, even Lamachar the next day. Perhaps we treat it as a separate, standalone offering. Kenachasacham Abarfne Atzman Damu. In which case, Umoyd Rabshim would allow it through. He would agree to the Yeru, you don't take it off the Mizbeach. Kamash, one of the points is no. Ultimately, it's part of that broader package. It's part of the carbon. It's not considered Fnei Atzman. Does not really fit the bill, Kamash Rabshim. Who requires it to be a totally separate entity. Okay, let's summarize today's daf. We had basically two discussions. One is importation of external blood into the Hechel for the sake of Kapar, that makes it puzzle, going to Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah, only if you actually applied it to the Mizbeach. We learned that a Mizbeach is Mekadesh, something which is fit for the Mizbeach, as opposed to Kaimitz, which is not yet ready for the Mizbeach. Which items are covered? We have five opinions. Reb Yishua focuses on the word Megda, fit for burning on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Gamliel focuses on the word Mizbeach, anything fit for the Mizbeach in general, even Dam and Nesachim. Rabbi Shimon says, provided it's a separate offering and not part of a broader package. Basically, it says, we exclude birds, the Rekiva, we exclude Menachis. Okay, all the best to you and Atzlacha Rav.